Is there any business under Article 20, Mr. Downing?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Bill Downing, Precinct 3. I move under Article 20, 2005, Annual Town Meeting, that the Town of Reading request that the School Committee and Superintendent address the elementary redistricting for the 05-06 school year in a way that would eliminate busing of children across the district who can currently walk to their neighborhood school and allow children who currently have sidewalks for safer travel to their local school be exempted from the redistricting plan, with the possibility of future changes if necessary when the Franklin Street sidewalks are completed. Thank you.
Excuse me. Is there a second? Second. Mr. Eelston? Okay.
Rich, would you ask people to distribute the flyers, please? Thank you.
One of these. Thank you, Mr. Moderator, and good evening, fellow town meeting members. The motion before you this evening regarding Article 20 is what the petitioners have asked you to consider. After working hard to get the town meeting to be heard, we respectfully asked you to listen with an open mind to see if we can concur as a body that the redistricting issues need to be revisited for reasons that I and others who support this article will explain to you. The voters of our community voted in favor of a Proposition 2.5 override to fund the building of a fifth elementary school by only 288 votes. Two of the most significant selling points, besides meeting the need of alleged increasing enrollments, was that a new elementary school would affect class sizes in a positive way and would eliminate crosstown busing, as well as it would bring a return to neighborhood schools. That information was delineated in a handout for Article 6 at the special town meeting in January 2003, and I believe was instrumental in the passing of this article. The school committee, upon recommendation of the superintendent, changed the school attendance policy in July 2004. The primary guidelines utilized by the school administrators were school capacity, transportation considerations. The consideration of safety factors and dangerous walking conditions were placed below class sizes and creating a long-term redistricting plan in their importance. You will hear that the school committee and school administration provided ample opportunities to provide feedback regarding redistricting. We were challenged to provide alternative solutions. Some of us did. Yet after four informational sessions at each elementary school, over the Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday season, only one minor change was made involving a portion of Rustic Lane and Brook Street. Over the four sessions and in between, numerous questions were submitted to the school administration and school committee. The school committee created a list of approximately 30 questions for the school administration prior to the vote. Not one of these questions was answered during the final night of the redistricting decision. There was no clarification on previous points made by concerned parents, nor was there any public discussion about the viability of several alternative proposals that had been submitted. Despite calls from parents that the school committee perform its due diligence and publicly review the alternative proposals, nothing happened. Despite calls for serious consideration of safety issues inherent with busing students over 2 miles away, over railroad tracks and away from the neighborhood school, or by being forced to walk to a school without sidewalks via Franklin Street, the school committee's responses showed a lack of willingness to incorporate our needs, those of their constituents, into this new redistricting plan. There were other proposals submitted to the school administration.
Mr. Eagleton, please keep your comments to the issues and not the personalities involved.
Will do, sir. One such proposal eliminated the busing of the 40 children in the Ash Street area created by the school administration, allowed allowed the Covey Hill area consisting of Covey Hill Road, Applegate Lane, and Debrew Drive, the Lawrence Road area consisting of Lawrence Road, Hampshire Road, and the section of Main Street, and the entire Rustic Lane area consisting of Rustic Lane, Great Coach Road, Carriage Lane, and Field Pond Drive to remain at their current school districts. This particular proposal would have also reduced the number of children affected by the redistricting by 54 and reduced the number of classrooms that exceeded 24 students from 24 to 20. The reason for rejecting this alternative plan was due to the increased number of students retained at the Joshua Eaton and Barrows Elementary Schools. The increase in students under this proposal at the Joshua Eaton School was 21 children. At a recent PTO meeting at Killam, attended by my wife, Kristen, she was informed that the number of students transitioning in from the Joshua Eaton now stands at 15. Through the action of the one amendment, grandfathering, and through petition, 25 of the 40 children in the Ash Street area have been retained within Joshua Eaton. Town meeting is the body where public discussion should take place when other boards or committees ignore the constituents they serve. Town meeting has the authority to allocate millions of dollars to school construction projects. Town meeting has the authority to ask the school committee to revisit the redistricting plan they have chosen and to ask the committee to work with the entire community when decisions affecting our children are made and when serious safety issues are at stake. We respectfully ask that you consider a vote in the affirmative to allow the community to work with the school committee and school administration and to assure that the best plan takes into account the safety of all the children of this town as its number one priority. I thank you for listening.
Is there further discussion? Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Bill Brown, Precinct 8. There was mention of the school promising a lot of things, too. I suggest that was a previous superintendent. He also promises only costs $145,000 to staff a school. This is not within the purview of town meeting, unfortunately or fortunately. I don't care which way you view it. Therefore, we should not be doing this. If you feel that it's an instructional motion that the school committee should visit, I'd like to remind the body 20 years ago I made a motion and they still haven't replied to it yet. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Yes. Mr. Dodd.
To answer the question, this is an instructional motion and it's true, it's not binding and they may never do anything about it. But I think the question here is, what is the town meeting membership going to do when they're told one thing and another thing happens? And I know what I would do, and it wouldn't be to lie down.
I missed the school committee report. Excuse me, is there a school committee report?
Good evening. Carl McFadden, Chairman of the School Committee. The School Committee wants to just outline for everyone that may or may not be familiar with the process. The process has really started with the administration and principals and special ed director last summer. They spent countless hours working with parent groups, numerous building-based parent meetings, actually going door-to-door doing a child survey. Redistricting data and information was posted on our website, as well as all letters and emails reviewed by the school administration and school committee. I know for one, my mailman was very, very unhappy that redistricting was taking as long as it was because he got a hernia from all the information that we received. This process, has it been perfect? No. When you're redistricting 2,000-plus children, someone's going to be unhappy. There's no doubt about it. We certainly listened to everyone. We certainly did the best that we thought was possible. We need to move forward. Parents, we received numerous letters saying, when we met on November 23rd, we received calls right after that saying that their child was quite upset not knowing what school they're going to be going to because the redistricting was not finalized. We had school-based meetings where the superintendent was a working group, made a presentation to each one of the elementary schools that were open. School committee members attended each one of those meetings. In one particular case at the Josh Whedon School, we had a quorum. We had four members of the school committee there that night. We then, after, and people said, well, you're doing it over, you know, the Christmas holidays. Well, I'm sorry, but we run this school 12 months a year. We can't sit there and say, well, for the month of December, we can't do anything because it's the holidays. We got to keep moving, going forward with the school district. On January 6th, we did have another public hearing where formally the school committee was in session, listening to everyone's issues. And then on the 27th, we did take a vote, and the school committee has been going forward. A lot of the concerns that people had, in particular, I know the Josh Whedon East Alliance, as they were called, one of their major issues was being able to be grandfathered in. Children were able to be grandfathered in. Parents were very happy that their child could stay for 1 year at their case. Our major goal is obviously to balance class size as fairly as possible. That is our goal. We have five elementary schools. Is someone going to be inconvenienced? Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. However, we need to do what's in best for the whole school district. It makes absolutely no sense to have one school that's overcrowded and another school bare. That's not what you're asking us to do. We're looking for equality across the district. We honestly do not believe, I certainly don't, that putting a child on a bus going through downtown Reading, past McDonald's, past Burger King, up to the square, is a danger. I really don't. And I sympathize with people that feel as though they've been inconvenienced. We certainly did the best we can, but if you look statistically, the number of children that have been inconvenienced out of the masses that we're looking at, I think we've done a very good job. If we being the school committee, certainly take a lot. We take, if you ask us to revisit school redistricting, the school committee, by law, does not need to. However, we respect this body, and we may take a look at it. But I need to caution you, that where people think they are today, if you're asking us to revisit this, if you've been redistricted to a certain school, all bets are off. If you think you're going to Woodend, you may end up being a Killam. If you've been grandfathered in, not anymore. We will go back to the very beginning. We'll have to start the whole process over. And based on the length of time it took before, is a good chance that you'll be told September 1 where your child's going. I ask you to not ask us to do this again, really for the children of Reading, because based on the letters that we received of what trauma that the children went through during the month of December, not knowing where they were going next year, you'd be really doing a disservice to them by putting them back not knowing where they're going next year. The administration, the staff need to keep going forward. They're making their plans of what classes little Joey and little Sally are going into. They need to make sure that they have the proper staff in place. We need to keep going forward. Thank you.
Further discussion? On my aisle, the woman. No, I'm sorry, on the other side. Yes.
Christine Durst, Precinct 8, and I don't have a prepared statement, so please bear with me. This has been a very emotional issue for me. I've been very disappointed in learning how the town of Reading does business and very saddened by it. First of all, I feel very unfortunate that what was just said sounded to me something like a threat to people who did support this issue, that we would have to go back to step one. I don't think that's what anyone supporting this warrant article wants. I don't think we want to go back to step one. We know that's not even possible at this point. It is too late in the game. We're already mostly there. I do think that, for me, it's about walking. It's always been about walking. And some of the emotion that was shown at the meeting Monday night about the elderly, perhaps we could say that, you know, we can be emotional about the value of walking to school in this day and age. There's a program called Walk Boston that supports kids walking to school for about a million and one reasons that I don't think I need to explain to anybody here. But that's really what this is about. When kids can walk to school, I thought we would support walking. Carl said that people were listened to. I talked, and then I found out that things that I said weren't heard. Mr. Dahl, in particular, said to me at the end of the process that...
Please keep personalities out of this.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was... Things that I had said about walking to school being my priority were misunderstood and interpreted as my attachment to my old school. My old school, Birch Meadow, is changing drastically, the most of any of the schools. And when I heard that, I went, I'm not listened to. I haven't been heard here. The point that I'm trying to say, that I bought my home so that my daughters could walk to school together through elementary school and middle school, has not been heard. When they're talking about attachment to a school that's changing completely, I know I haven't been heard. Birch Meadow does still have the capacity. It's not overcrowded. Rise Preschool is going there. So my children really theoretically could fit. I don't understand what was said about overcrowding. The school attendance areas that I have listed from the website said primary considerations that govern the establishment of a school attendance area are school capacity. Well, again, I don't see the capacity problem for me at Birch Meadow. Transportation considerations. To me, the most practical transportation for a school is walking. So I didn't know ahead of time that that was something that was going to easily be taken away from me. It does say it will consider dangerous walking conditions also and natural boundaries. I live in a small neighborhood. I feel it was split in half. I have one neighbor nearby who says now my kids don't have anybody to walk to school with because the other half of the neighborhood isn't going there anymore. The grandfathering was only for 1 year and wouldn't have done my first grader any good because the next year she could be moved. And I guess really I think that at least for... There's actually a small number. After the grandfathering was done, and I believe that was done to balance class sizes so that the program looked better, because actually initially my daughter's class size went from 20 this year in fourth grade to 26 next year in fifth grade. And that didn't make a lot of sense to me. Plus I was losing walking. Plus I was paying more for the school. I guess, you know, from my small neighborhood, and I think even for Eden East at this point, we're saying, you know, a lot of us moved into our neighborhoods for very particular reasons related to the schools. And granted, yes, things change. But, you know, being within a mile of a school and being able to walk on sidewalks versus being bused or having to transport every day by car as the kids are even older was not something that occurred to us. And I think that we don't want a whole new plan necessarily. I think that could have been done. I truly do. I think that the Eagleston plan looked like a better plan, and I wish it had been discussed January 27th, and I wish that the school committee had responded to my questions about 2 months later when I brought it up. But at this point, I think some of us would like reconsideration and maybe the chance to continue walking to school. Thank you.
Scott, Ms. Dager? I actually had recognized her. As soon as she's done, you'll come back. I'll come back to you. I'll come back to you right after her.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Nancy Stager, Precinct 1. I've always been an active supporter of the schools, and I have to say I was very disappointed with this process. I understand the school committee has to continue to do this, and redistricting is a fact of life. But making sure that people feel they're heard has to be an important part of how it's done. And I heard from a lot of people around town that they didn't feel like they had been heard. So I think the school committee needs to understand that and take that into account as they go forward. I would like to ask what the school committee's position is on the criticism that last January of 2004, we specifically said that no elementary students would reside so far from the school as to require busing, and 15 months later, we are going to be requiring that busing. What is your position?
Mr. McFadden.
Before I answer your question, Nancy, Ms. Darcy, if you felt as though I was threatening you, I certainly apologize. Okay. I just want to make sure because you made that comment. In reference to people saying that they felt as though they were not heard, we had numerous meetings. There was dialogue going on with that. If the school committee does not necessarily agree with you, that doesn't mean we're not hearing you. We can just have just a disagreement on what your views are and what we feel is in the best interest of the school committee, school district, excuse me. So I think that's very important. People feel is that if we don't do what they want us to do, we're not listening to them. And that's not the case whatsoever. If we weren't going to listen to you, why would we have all these meetings? Why would we have all these working groups that we've had to the administration and parent groups? In reference to your question on busing, the school committee, by law, has to have busing anything over 2 miles. Factually, we need to do that. And we realize that in the particular area by Ash Street, it's not. Some are a little over 2 miles, but we're arranging for that whole area to be able to be bused. So that in reference to the safety of the children, we certainly feel if someone's at 1.8 miles, they have the opportunity to be on the bus that legally we don't need to, but the superintendent has made a decision for the safety of the children to put everyone on one bus and give everyone that opportunity to take advantage of that.
Okay. In January of 2004, or whenever the warrant was put together, was the school committee not aware that we were going to have to do redistricting that would require busing? Or what was such a short period of time?
It's a little blinding the light. In January 2004, there was no redistricting map even contemplated. I cannot speak for the superintendent, but based on everything that we had on our plate, we did not tackle redistricting until really this summer when he's got his staff together of 2004. I know our goal, obviously, is never to have any busing because there is an economic cost involved. But as of January 2004, we weren't even addressing redistricting.
So what changed between January of 2004 and now?
We did the redistricting plan. And when they were doing it, we're looking to balance class size. Absolutely. We heard from numerous, and I can't even begin to tell you how many people that we've heard, and we actually still hear from them today, that are concerned about what class size is going to be. One of the things that we brought up, and people were critical, I would say, about one of the things that we did, we felt as though we were trying to get as much information as possible, is that we rounded up realtors in town and said, please tell us what areas that you think are going to turn over that have the potential for empty nesters to move in and families to move in with a couple of children. And they targeted a particular area of town in the Joshua Eden area. And based on statistics that we've seen and heard from the realtors, they were right on the money. That area has a high turnover. I don't know if it's because of some developments that may be going on that side of town. I don't know. But if you drive around the town of Reading, that side of town does have a lot of people, a lot of for sale signs that, looking at the transaction taking place, are children moving into houses that are empty? I mean, those are factors involved. We cannot have one school that has 35 kids in a class and another school with 15. We need to balance it to the best of our ability. And that's one of the reasons why it took place.
I just leave you with one further comment on that. I think we have to be careful of the planning and of the wording, because what you've said, the turnover in the Joshua Eaton district hasn't changed since January of 2004. The fact that we didn't have a redistricting plan on the horizon at that time is a lack of forethought and resources available to be able to do that kind of plan, not that we've had a major shift in the demographics of the town. And I think we have to be very careful when we get people involved in supporting the schools and in voting, that we're clear on what we're going to be able to do and what we're not going to be able to do. And although I know that it was everybody's intent not to have additional busing, and it was not anybody's intent to be duplicitous or to change that opinion over that span of that relatively short span, I think it's incumbent on all of us, and now that we have a new superintendent, I hope he understands how important this is to the parents in the district, and I know he understands that. But we need to be very careful in what we're committing to and what we're asking people to vote for and in what we're discussing at this town meeting.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Ms. O'Neill.
Mary Ellen O'Neill, Precinct 6. I think the town meeting can be involved in this because we have done so much to support the schools, and there is money in terms of the overall school budget, or maybe in terms of the busing. I did not become involved in the redistricting issue this year because I don't have a child that will be affected by it, but I do have a child that's being bused this year to the Wood End School, and I wouldn't wish busing on anyone. It's not been the best experience. I also bought into the idea that we would have no busing when we approved these plans for the new school, because I feel we're blessed to have 5 elementary schools in a town that's under 10 square miles. I think that walking is a great benefit. We are a town that supports sidewalks and people of all ages to be walking. I think busing is not only an economic issue, it affects children and their relationships to one another on the bus. It affects the time that parents have to be with one another, which is if you're not going to school every day, you don't see people, you don't make those kinds of connections. There's a lot of facets to busing beyond just the money issue. I'm very disappointed that we have any busing in this plan with what I feel that we are spending so much money on our schools. And I would urge us to vote in favor of this article and urge the school committee to rethink this, because I do not buy the argument that it's too late to change. Before we get invested any further in this redistricting, now is the time when we have still a little time to change it and make it better. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Mr. McFadden.
I appreciate those comments, Ms. O'Neill. But a perfect example in terms of where one person feels as though busing has not been a good experience for their child or their children. We've had groups that have contacted the superintendent where they want to see if they can get out their own bus. We go back and forth, and we're not saying one way is right, we're not saying one way is wrong in reference to busing, but the fact of the matter is we have what we have with busing. We do not have 5 schools that are equally apart from every single location. We have schools that are very close to each other. As you can see by the map, all of our children are not, we don't have a perfect number of children on every single street. So we do need to adjust it. And unfortunately for us, every single school does not have exactly the same amount of kids on every single street. So we're able to do. Some neighborhoods only have first and second graders. Some neighborhoods only have fourth and fifth graders. So we need to be able to balance that.
Further discussion? Ms. Merrill.
Dale Merrill, Precinct 8. I've spoken to quite a few parents who live in Precinct 8, and what they've all said to me is they're greatly concerned about the safety of their children having to walk to Woods End when they can safely walk on sidewalks, as they have in the past, Birch Meadow. I don't know if any of you have seen the video that's been on RCTV about a walk to Woods End, but it starts on Covey Hill and walks over to Woods End, and I think that it really dramatizes how scary and how unsafe Franklin Street is. I've lived on Franklin Street for 13 years now, and the way people zoom down that street out of control is very, very frightening. As an adult, I'm afraid to walk down Franklin Street. I wouldn't want to see any little 5, 6, 7-year-old having to walk down Franklin Street. Right now, there's no sidewalks. The road is bumpy. There's walls. Children in many situations are going to be forced to walk very close to the street. And I question, actually, once there are sidewalks, if it would even be safe for children to walk on Franklin Street. The people that I've spoken to in Precinct 8 very much want their children to be able to walk to school as they have in the past on those sidewalks that already exist going to Birch Meadow. Now, I don't do personal injury law, so maybe some other lawyer, I'm a criminal lawyer, so maybe some other person in the audience who does personal injury might be able to tell us what the liability issues are if the town knowingly puts children in danger in harm's way by having them walk down a busy street like Franklin Street on their way to school when they could, then they do have a different option. And then the other question I have is, if we're talking about having a half-empty school over at Woods End, that begs the question of why did we build Woods End if it's going to be half-empty?
Mr. McFadden.
Dale, the school's built. I mean, I can't do anything about it. The school's there. If we went, in reference to cars zooming up and down the street, as the town manager and the new chief of police, I'm sure they'll get their comments to them. We don't, unfortunately, or actually fortunately, enforce traffic on that street. Is it a concern? Absolutely. However, we cannot have a school that would be, superintendent just told me, it would be a third filled. What end would be, you know, it would only be class sizes of probably 10. And honestly, knowing how the town of Reading and what we've heard about class size, I think we probably have a petition from hundreds of people saying, can you have a class size of 10? It is what it is. The school's there. We need to use it. The voters have approved it twice. We're moving forward. We're having the school where it is. There's nothing we can do about the traffic on Franklin Street except have the safety officer and the police take care about the enforcement of the speed. A lot of these things we're not in control of.
Mr. Downey?
It was nice to hear Carl say earlier that having elementary school children on a bus going through the center of town and over railroad tracks and things like that is perfectly safe. But statistics don't bear that out. It's much less safe to ride on a bus than it is to walk to school, statistically. And we're talking about elementary-sized students here. Most of you are probably familiar with how large an elementary school student is, and these are buses without seat belts. You can imagine there's going to be a lot of stopping and starting when you're going through very busy sections of town, and I can right now envision some of those very small children sliding off their plastic seats and slamming their faces into the back of the seat in front of them, and I really think we should try and avoid that. That's a great reason not to have busing, and we could avoid busing with the Eagleston plan. We should.
Further discussion? Yes, on the aisle on the right. Yes.
Thank you. Jim Lorden, Precinct 8. I'd just like to set the record straight. I've been dropping off and picking up at Birch Meadow for 6 years now, and very few people actually walk. I think it's an issue that's being raised simply to make another point. People that just simply don't want to change. But once again, very few people walk, and I would expect even less people to walk with the redistricting to the new school.
Further discussion? Mr. McFadden.
As another example that we certainly feel as a school committee, that we are listening to people bring up this issue, Mr. Downey, you're absolutely right in terms of seatbelts are very important. It's the law. We are actually submitting an RFP where seatbelts would be required on our school buses. So that issue I know you're concerned about. We heard you. We listened to you. And that's why the superintendent and Mary Delay, our business director, are in the process of creating an RFP where seatbelts will be on the school buses.
Ms. Webb?
Elaine Webb, Precinct 1, and also school committee member. I'd like to just make a comment on the busing safety issue. Some months ago, this was brought up, and Maureen Hannafin, who takes care of all the transportation issues in the district, has been working with the bus companies and looking at it. And I just want to say right now that it isn't clear. The data is not clear to say that elementary school children are safer with seatbelts. There are many issues. We're going to look at that issue extremely closely, and I want people to know that. I think that a previous speaker talked about masking some issues here, and we're getting off the track when we're talking about buses. I think we're getting off the track a little bit when we're talking about walking. And I, as a parent who has taken kids to Killam for the last 6 years, walked on streets without sidewalks, walked on streets with cars doing 35 miles an hour walking by me, this is all over town. It is not just these one of these specific areas affected by redistricting. And I was kind of wondering if Pete was going to talk about what those liability issues are, because they have to, they exist now. It's not something new that we've created by implementing this plan. I think the focus here is that we did our best to listen, and I understand that not everyone felt listened to. We did our best as individual members of the committee to evaluate the data. And there was reams of data that we each evaluated individually. Often we contacted the superintendent or the associate superintendent to clarify. We often contacted individuals to clarify what they had indicated in maybe a proposal or something that they were concerned about. So I speak for myself as an individual, spent numerous hours evaluating and listening. And this plan that we've come up with, while it may not meet every stipulation that was initially set forth, whether that came from Harry, and then maybe was followed through at a time when we should have looked at it a little bit more closely and said, geez, we can't promise that right now. We don't have enough information to promise that right now. And we've always done busing. I don't know if there's any other, the parents here, there's been kids bused to Killam forever. There's places in this town that are more than 2 miles from any school. So we have always bused elementary students, and that would have been an inappropriate statement even knowing that, so it shouldn't have been publicized in that way. So I think we've tried very hard. Class size is very important, as Carl said. There are many other priorities that we tried to balance, and this is the plan that we as committee members felt was the best plan for the town. And we voted that plan forward. There have been enormous amounts of things that are in place now. The Birch Meadow parents know it. The Killam parents know it. Teachers are transitioning. Principals are transitioning. Children are transitioning. It's time now to put together the classrooms and the class sizes for next year. We want to do a good job at that so that next year kids have a great year. If we have to dismantle that, it's certainly going to put a lot more pressure on us to be able to do that effectively. And I don't want to do that. I think that we have a lot to do in this district, and I think that we voted in the best plan that we could put together, and that we need to just keep moving to make next year successful for all the students in Reading.
Ms. Phillips.